Joining me is Jason Beck, BC Sports Hall of Fame curator and author of his first book, The Miracle Mile. Welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Christine.
So, you know, Jason, the book is actually becoming so, you know, great feedback you've been getting on the book. And, you know, and it's about the 1954 British Empire and Commonwealth Games. And what made you decide to write the book?
Well, it was, there were a couple things. I think any person that has grown up and lived in British Columbia, I kind of knew about the Miracle Mile story, the race itself. I think once you've been living in a bunker somewhere, that's kind of part of our fabric, you know, as British Columbians, that race. So I was interested in that, and I was also interested in the fact that the rowing events were held on the Vedder Canal, where I grew up, on a farm on Sumas Prairie. I just thought that was amazing that they could row on this crazy canal with water that goes so fast and up and down the water levels. So there was that. And the other thing was that these stories kept finding me. I wasn't really looking for them, to be honest with you, but every once in a while someone would tell me a story or I'd find an anecdote, and after a while I just thought, there's too many of these to ignore any longer. I think I have to do something with it.
Mm-hmm. And you sure did, you know, the Miracle Mile. But, you know, it talks about the marathon starting at 12:30, and it was on a hot August 7th, right, with just 16 competitors?
Yeah, 16, yeah. It was by all accounts, the hottest day of 1954, the hottest day of summer. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, maybe it was just the timing, they held the marathon race at the hottest part of the day. Guys, they just suffered. It was a hard course to begin with, because I've walked it. There are lots of hills, and some very steep hills. And you know, in terms of having water stations around the route, they had a few, but not like they would today. It really was kind of primitive in that sense. And what the other problem was, that a lot of the officials on the course were there at first, and then when the Miracle Mile race was being held in Empire Stadium around 2 o'clock, a lot of them kind of disappeared, went to the stadium to watch the race, so these runners were kind of out in the course on their own. Jim Peters, the English marathoner, it was just his habit not to drink during a race, not to drink water, so he really suffered. The best anecdote I can tell you for how hard and how hot that race was is there was several runners, and these are seasoned international runners, that either fell off the road, literally fell into a ditch, or ran into a telephone pole or a light.
Oh my gosh.
There was even one fellow who's a Canadian, Gerard Côté. He won the Boston Marathon several times in the 1940s. He dropped out at 8 miles, and that was the very first race in 27 years of his racing career that he failed to finish. It was a really, really tough afternoon for these guys.
Wow. And how many fans, I mean, they must have been horrified by looking, like, I mean, at Peters, you know, trying to finish. And I guess he tried or collapsed 12 times, right?
He entered Empire Stadium, made it down the steep ramp to the track, and then kind of somersaulted, and then he continued to collapse and get up and crawl and collapse, and this went on for about 10 minutes by all accounts, and there were 35,000 people in the stadium watching this. And this is just minutes after the Miracle Mile is taking place, where everyone is really riding this incredible, you know, excitement and energy, and then you get this opposite effect where the place just goes silent. And I had numerous athletes that were down the field tell me it was chilling how quiet it got. It was like some of them said it was how crazy how loud that silence really was.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the Empire Games, the 1954 British Empire and Commonwealth Games is really put Vancouver on the map. I mean, there's Expo 86, but this really helped, right?
Yeah, well, this was kind of the first international event Vancouver and BC as a whole had hosted. We really hadn't taken on anything this big. And, you know, there weren't there weren't many major international events held in North America from you know, the end of World War II into the, the first event was in the late 1960s when Winnipeg hosted the Pan Am Games. So it was pretty unusual, and it got Vancouver a lot of attention. And then the bonus was these two world these two events that gained worldwide attention: the Miracle Mile and Jim Peters' collapse in the marathon. It suddenly Vancouver was on the front page of newspapers all over the world. Literally hundreds of front page headlines, and even in countries that weren't involved in the games. That was how big these stories were. It's pretty rare for Vancouver at any point in its history, whether it's a sports story or a news story. I'd actually argue that maybe has never happened before or since.
Right, and Jason, the lead feature story in the first issue of Sports Illustrated was the Miracle Mile.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe, but that's absolutely true.
It's amazing. And you know, and there's other stories like Doug Hepburn, right? The lift, you know, the weightlifter. I mean, there's a great story in there as well. So it's
he's kind of a forgotten Vancouver and Canadian, you know, really a superstar athlete. He was the reigning world heavyweight champion in weightlifting. He'd won the world championships in 1953 in Stockholm. And he was the only Vancouver-born individual athlete, to win a gold medal at the 54 Games. And he's just this kind of larger-than-life, Paul Bunyan-esque figure. He was a bit of a showman. He really liked to show how strong he was. So there's stories of him lifting up the lifeguard boat at Trout Lake on his back by himself, you know, ripping license plates apart in his bare hands. There's even a story of one day he was having a bad day and left his gym and walked out on the sidewalk, saw a parking meter, and just bent the parking meter pole so that it was parallel with the sidewalk. he was a crazy character.
Oh my goodness. And you know, it's amazing. You know, I love your book, and you know, with the 150 plus photos, and some of them, well, many of them, right, have never been published.
That's right. Yeah, we were hoping to have about 40 photos in the book, but there are just so many great images that really, you know, speak of the 1950s and that era in sport that no one had ever seen before. So thankfully, my publisher Vicki Johnston from Caitlin Press, she was really supportive, and she actually made the book larger so that we could include these photos. And I think it's a real treat. That's what people notice right away when they open the book, is how many of these great images there are.
And there's something for everyone. You know, the book offers, you know, because it's inspiring, it's memorable, it's significant, historical, it's everything. And it's a book that is, you know, maybe schools should have it, you know, I think.
I think so. I mean, certainly BC schools. I think it should be something, you know, kids should be learning about. This great event took place here in our province and in this city. Mm-hmm. There is something for everything. It is a sports book, but it is historical. And I've had people say to me, in fact, just on the weekend here, a fellow came up to me at a show and said, you know, I'm not a sports fan, but I loved your book because it's so readable. It's a page turner. And he said, you know, it has significant stories that are really historical that we should know, but also, you know, stories of different tones. There's some sad stories and some happy stuff. There's some funny stories. There's stories of athletes overcoming obstacles, and then others that don't quite make it. And but there's also a bit of love and sex and rock and roll and you know, a little bit of mystery. These games, when you have a big event like that, there's a little bit of everything. And I think you know, for my good fortune, I was able to write about these and I think share them with people.
Yes, and where can you buy the book?
Well, it's available at virtually any bookstore you go to now, but you can also find it at the BC Sports Hall of Fame and then online as well at on the Hall of Fame website or Caitlin Press's website. I've gone to about 15 bookstores in the past, you know, couple weeks, and every single one had it, so it's good to see it.
That's wonderful. And you know what? You are inspiring others, you know, and maybe we'll see another book from you?
Well, I'm hoping so. I've given some thought on what might come next? I mean, I think someone needs to do an updated, you know, history of BC sport, and maybe that's me. I don't know, but you know, that's something. I really like the rowing story in the book, and I think there's a larger story there for some of the other UBC and Vancouver Rowing Club teams that came later. That could be one, and there might. I found another athlete on the weekend at an odd postcard show, and there might be a story there I'm looking at. I just have to figure out this stuff. A fellow that walked around the world in 1912.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Well, my goodness, I can't wait to read it then, and I know you'll write it. You know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and congratulations, Jason, on your book, and it is a page-turner indeed, and, you know, again, thanks so much for coming on the show, and we'd like to have you come back, so.
Well, thank you, Christine. Thank you for all the support. You've been, you know, just so, so great. You know, I mean, love your work, and thank you for supporting the book and supporting, well, me and the Hall of Fame. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Jason.